We are jumping into a series called At the Movies, and we're not going to show any movies today. We're going to start it next week. Today's going to be kind of a primer and introduction into the series At the Movies, and we thought this would be a very fitting series going into summer. So it's kind of summer at the movies at Grace Bible Church. We're going to do four, and it's kind of geared toward kids because we really want to, one of the objectives in this whole series is to help our kids learn to hear the voice of God in every area of their lives. So why don't we open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into the word this morning. If you bow your heads with me this morning and your hearts, let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Lord, your word is invaluable to our lives. You communicate your heart, your ways, and your love for us through your word. God, thank you that you are a God who communicates to us and that you lead and guide us through your Holy Spirit. And we just pray that you would speak to our hearts and our lives this morning. God, thank you for every single life that is here this morning, as well as every other soul that's in our community and worshiping in other places. God, we pray that you would bring all of us closer to you in a closer walk and relationship to you. And God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and our lives this morning. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen, amen. There's a scripture in the Bible, Proverbs 25, verse 2, and it says that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the honor of kings to search it out. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, honor of kings to search out those things. And so how many of you know that God is not a God that just like imposes his will on every person, but that he almost hides things to keep the precious things for those who really want it. We had this tradition in our house, and I don't know how many of you have this tradition, probably not too many, but my mom was weird, and so she would make these weird traditions, and one of the traditions was during Christmas. How many of you put your presents under the Christmas tree during Christmas? How many of you do that? Raise your hand. Okay. See, my mom didn't do that. My mom was weird. What she did was she liked to hide the Christmas gifts all over the house. So it was kind of like a scavenger hunt. And so we would look at the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, you know, all the way leading up into Christmas, we would see more and more Christmas gifts under the tree, and we'd get more and more excited. But then on Christmas morning, all the gifts would be gone. And then she would say, I hid them all. And so we would have to find the Christmas, part of the tradition in our family was Christmas morning. It was like a scavenger hunt where everybody had to go around the house, look under the beds, look in the closets, you know. And she didn't hide them in easy places. She hid them in like the cupboards, the pantries, behind different things. And we would literally spend hours looking for our Christmas gifts. And there's something inside of my mom that she enjoys the pain of others, which is why we got spanked a lot. But I think she enjoyed watching us look for it, and it was fun. All of us, we did it in we're looking forward to finding our gifts, and it was part of the whole Christmas morning experience at the Asato house. The bad thing about it was that sometimes we didn't find all the gifts. And it wasn't like my mom had an inventory where she like wrote down where all the different gifts were. So there's many times that I remember as a kid finding my Christmas gift several months later in some obscure place. And I'd be like, Christmas again. You know, I have like a Christmas gift. And so pretty soon we learned to inventory our own gifts. So before they disappeared on Christmas morning, we'd actually count how many gifts we had, just so that we would know if we missed any on Christmas morning. But God, a lot of times, is the same way, where he doesn't just give us stuff. He hides things because he enjoys watching us look for it. He enjoys watching his kids searching in anticipation and trying to find him and his ways. And it's one of his characteristics. Jesus spoke in parables. How many of you know why Jesus spoke in parables? He told these stories. And I was always under the impression that Jesus told stories to expound and to teach things better to people. How many of you are under that impression that Jesus told parables to teach and to explain things better? I've always thought that. You want to know why he told parables? He told parables to hide things. He told parables to keep things hidden from those that he wanted to hide things from. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Talk a little bit more of that later. My dad used to always... one of the things, the most valuable things my dad taught me was that God is always speaking. And he doesn't just speak through Scripture. Scripture is definitely the bedrock and foundational cornerstone in hearing the voice of God. But once you have Scripture inside of you, God begins to, it says the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance the things that you have heard. And so the reason why you read your Bible is to have a backlog of all of these, all the knowledge of Scripture. And as you're walking through the day, the Holy Spirit will pull out of that bank of knowledge different things to teach you what it actually means. And so a lot of times when you read Scripture, you're not going to understand it in its entirety, but as you live life, the Holy Spirit will bring those things back. And I remember, is that Rodrigo? Oh, Rodrigo! Everyone say hi, Rodrigo. I was like, whoa, what's... awesome. Okay, for those of you that don't know, he moved, and I don't know what he's doing here, but we're happy to have you, right on. We send off Ruben, we get back Rodrigo, all right. No. So, where was I? I'm see, ADD. I need one of those fidget spinners, you know, just to keep me on track. What was I talking about? Bank of knowledge. Okay, I was going somewhere with that. Okay, yeah, so like a lot of times I would be doing, when we would be doing chores around the house, my dad would always relate it to some kind of spiritual truth. So like picking weeds, you know, and then I remember one time we were picking weeds in the back of my house and he'd say, you know, John, life is like this. You see how many weeds there are? You see the grass? The grass doesn't grow nice on its own, but the weeds grow really well on its own. And that's the way life is. Our spiritual life, if we don't tend to our spiritual life, all these weeds will grow and the grass won't be maintained. If you want a good spiritual life, you have to constantly be pulling these weeds, constantly be mowing the lawn, and maintain your spiritual walk. And everything that we did, my dad could come up with these analogies to our spiritual life. And so I just kind of learned how to learn spiritual truth through everyday things. It's funny because my kids are kind of like that now, or they're beginning to be like that because they know, they hear it all the time. And we were driving to school on Friday, and my daughter, my oldest daughter, she looked at me and she goes, "Aren't you happy, Dad, that you're going to have us every single day for the whole summer?" And I looked at her and I smiled and I was like, "Yeah, I guess." And then she said, "Then how come you were so happy the last day of summer last year when we were all going to go back to school?" And I was like, "I don't know, because you guys are like pizza." And then she looked at me kind of just like, and then Caden, he's in the back and he goes, "I get it." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Because pizza is good, but if you have too much of it, you get sick of it, right?" And I was like, "Man, you're going to be a great pastor when you grow up." There's all of these analogies. And then Alexis jumps in and she's like, "Yeah, it's just like one slice of pizza is good, but if you have four, that's too much. And five, ugh, you get sick." And I was like, "That's bad. Don't say that." Anyway, so Jesus, a lot of times, he talked to people in parables. And let's read this first scripture, Matthew 13, verse 10 and 11. It says, "The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you, but not to them. Okay, if you read this in the context of, if you read this in the context of the scripture, if you turn to Matthew chapter 13, if you do have your Bibles, I just want to read through this parable. And this does have to do with movies, summer at the movies, and learning to hear the voice of God. And I never saw this before, but it was interesting reading it. So I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, that same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, he told them many things in parables. Okay, a parable is a story, but it's almost like a riddle. And in the King James, it doesn't say large crowds, it says multitudes. We know from Scripture that there was thousands of people that came when Jesus was telling these stories. And he says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has an ear, let him hear. Then the disciples came to him and asked, and if you read in Mark, it's a parallel scripture to this, but in Mark chapter, I think it's Mark 4. Mark 4, he says, when they were alone, the disciples came to him and asked. And so the multitudes are not there anymore. So if you could imagine this, Jesus, there's so many people that he goes onto a boat and he's talking to these thousands of people. He says this story about the parable and the sower of the seed. And after he says the story, he doesn't expound on it. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Okay, service is done. Everybody can go home. And then he sends the multitudes away. How many of you think that they understood what he said? I would assume that 99% of everybody that just heard that story had no idea what Jesus just said. He told them this story and said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Pretty much what he's saying is, go figure it out. And then he just left them. Now, how many of you, if you came to church and a pastor told this obscure story, because this wasn't even in Scripture, this wasn't even part of the Word of God, this was just a random story about a farmer sowing seed, and then he said, all right, guys, shoots, figure it out, see you later. And then the multitudes are, I don't know what Jesus did at that point. Maybe he just got in his boat and went further away, because if he went to shore, people would be like, what are you talking about? But it said that when they were alone, the disciples were confused. Would that confuse you if you were one of Jesus' disciples? You have this captive audience of 1,000 people. He says this obscure story and then says, shoots, figure it out. How many of you would be a little bit like, what in the world are you doing? Anyone be confused by that? The disciples were confused because they asked him and they said, why do you speak in parables? Matthew 13, 10 through 11. And then Jesus replied, he answers that question. Bye, Cohen. Hey! He replies, the reason why I do this is because the knowledge of the secrets, he's talking to his disciples, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to the multitudes now. He pulls them aside. And then he says, but to them, it has not been given. he hid those things from the multitudes, and he just told his disciples. It doesn't make sense, right? And when I read that, I was like, I'm so opposite of that. When I'm on Facebook and I have a friend that wants to argue with me about scripture or argue with me about God, I'm just like arguing. And Jesus, he didn't even argue. He didn't try to convince people. If people didn't want to be convinced, he just let them alone. He even hid things from people that didn't want to know. So Jesus told parables to the masses. The same, if you look at point 8, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, sat in it. While all the people stood on shore, he began to tell many parables. Point 2, Jesus only revealed the meaning to his disciples. The disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them." And then he goes on and he explains more. He says, "This is why I speak to them in parables, that seeing they will not see, through hearing they will not hear or understand." And then he says something really significant, and I want you guys to think about this. He says, "For these people's hearts have become very calloused." Everyone say calloused. Calloused. "They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." So he was saying, the reason why I talk to them in ways that they cannot understand is because of the hardness of their hearts. God only communicates and explains the mysteries of the kingdom to people whose hearts are soft. So if we want to hear God's voice, it's important that we keep our hearts soft, that we keep seeking after God, unless if we do not, he's going to hide those things from us. It's a part of his nature. Is that kind of scary? He's never going to bang us over the head. He gives things to those. It says that blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. Right? So we need to be hungry for understanding. The Holy Spirit speaks the same way. He hides things from the proud, reveals things to the humble. It says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said." John 14:26. And then Matthew 11:25. "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children.'" So then Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of this parable. And then he says something very significant. He says, "If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all parables? This parable, the sower and the seed, is the parable of all parables, because in it, it holds the secret of understanding every other parable." It's the parable of all parables. And so, how many of you want to know the secret of all secrets, of the parable of all parables? That if you understand the meaning of this one parable, that you'll understand all parables and all secrets of the kingdom. Anybody? Okay, we're gonna, Jesus revealed it to his disciples. And hold on. Okay, so, the secrets of the kingdom. In Greek, it's called mysterion, and it means the hidden purpose and counsel of God, the secret counsels which govern God in dealing with the righteous, which are hidden from the ungodly and the wicked, but plain to the godly. So how does God give these secrets to the godly and then hide them from the ungodly? He says, in the context of the scripture, the secret isn't the main item of discussion. Jesus is answering a question of why he tells parables. To really understand this question, you have to place yourself in the context of the situation. And if you look at the passages in both Mark and Matthew, it's rather bizarre, because he neglects the multitude, tells them this random parable, random riddle, and then pulls his disciples and then tells them the meaning of the parable. Both texts are the same until you get to verse 10. And this is from Matthew 13, 1 through 10, and Mark 4, 1 through 10. And it's pretty much the same all the way up until verse 10. And in verse 10, in Mark, it says, "And when he was alone," everyone say alone, "they that were with him asked him about the parable." So they weren't with the multitudes. In verse 10 of Matthew, it says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why do you speak to people in parables?" So then he answers, and he answers the exact, you know, what we were talking about earlier. "Because it's given to you to know the mysteries, but not to them." And then he says something neat in Mark 4, verse 13. He says, "Know ye not this parable? If you don't know this parable, then how will you know all parables?" So the key in understanding all parables, all stories, all movies that we're going to be watching is one thing. And he decodes the parables by breaking down that the seed is the word of God that holds the mysteries of all the kingdom. And the soil that it falls into is the heart of man. He identifies four types of people. There's the hard-hearted. The hard-hearted can't understand, and so the devil steals that seed. The second kind of person is a small-rooted. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but we're not going to read the whole thing. You can read it on your own. It's the small-rooted who are easily offended. How many of you know people who are easily offended? I belong to nationality that is easily offended. Japanese. Easily offended, hard to forgive. Number three, so it says they're easily offended, so they receive the word, because, you know, us Japanese, we're smart, so we can understand, but then easily offended, and then we can fall away easy. Number three, the half-hearted, because it was planted in areas where there was thorns and bushels, and so the nutrients of the soil not just went to the word, but they went to weeds and other stuff. And so people that are half-hearted, the word of God can't grow unhindered in their lives because they have other stuff that they plant besides the word of God in their lives. And then the last was good soil that bears 30, 60, 100-fold. So the question is, why did Jesus tell the 12, but he didn't tell the thousands of people? He goes and he says, it's because of the hardness of their heart. He qualified the thousands of people as group number one, those that don't understand. And so the devil comes and he takes the word. He spoke to them in parables because they were the first soil. So if that's true, then that means that the disciples, the reason why he told the disciples the secret of the parable was because he looked at them as the fourth soil, the good soil. So I went into scripture and I was like, okay, that means that they had to have been soft-hearted. They had to have not easily been offended. They had to have not been half-hearted to be the good soil that God revealed his secrets to. So if you look through scripture, they were soft-hearted because they were seeking to understand. They asked Jesus, they said, "What did you mean by that parable? We didn't understand it. Tell us what that means." Whenever you're hungry, that's an indication of a soft heart. Number two, they were not easily offended. Jesus told that story, right? "I'm the bread. My body is, you know, my blood. You need to eat my flesh, drink of my blood." And everyone was offended and they left. And he looked at his disciples and he said, "Will you be offended too?" And they said, "No. Who else has the words of life? Where else can we go?" And so they weren't easily offended. They were not half-hearted because in scripture in Matthew 19, verse 27, it says, "We have left all to follow you." So they qualified as good soil, and because they were good soil, the mysteries of the kingdom were given to them. Isn't that cool? So this is the one thing that I want to emphasize as we go into this At the Movie series. How many of you have ever been? I think a lot of us have this view that Jesus was some kind of like great teacher, because he was a great teacher. But he had the Bible, and he was just like always preaching out of the Bible. And a lot of times that's what is recorded in Scripture. But it says that he taught through parables. There was no text that he was reading out of the Bible for parables. They were just stories. And then to the hungry, he would take them off on the side and then teach them the ways of the kingdom as it pertained to that story. It wasn't something super spiritual or super religious. It was a story and then the explanation of that story. And he only did it to the hungry, to the good soil. How many of you, what are today's modern day stories? Movies. Many times, movies are modern day stories. Now that Jesus is gone, who has taken the place of Jesus? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches us. How many of you have ever been in a movie theater, and in the movie theater, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal something about the kingdom of God through that movie? And you cannot do this without understanding Scripture. You have to have the scriptural background. But how many of you have ever done that? I mean, this happens to me all the time. How many of you saw Saving Private Ryan? Saving Private Ryan, how many of you, the Holy Spirit talked to you through that movie? What? No, for real. How many of you, the Holy Spirit talked to you through Saving Private Ryan? Okay. God speaks through stories. And this happens all the time. I can't get away from it. So I'm watching Saving Private Ryan. And how many of you remember the scene of the movie where he's standing at the grave, and he, for those of you that haven't seen the movie, he was the last son. All his other brothers died in the war, and it was a policy that if the last son was on the battlefield, that he would have to be taken off the battlefield because they didn't want a mother to lose all their sons, all her sons. So there was a group of men that went in to rescue the last son, five or so soldiers, who ended up all losing their lives to save this one guy. And so the whole story is about these five men that go in to rescue Private Ryan, who's just a private. He's not a lieutenant, commander, or anything. He's just a private. And these guys go in to rescue him, and in the process, all five of them get killed, where he is the only one who escapes. And he comes home. At the end of the movie, he's standing at the gravestones of these guys who have died for him. And he's standing there with his wife, his children, and his grandchildren, and he looks to his wife and he says, "Tell me I lived a good life. Tell me I lived a good life." Because he's visiting the gravestones of these five other men that gave their life for him. And he was saying, "I need to live my life in a way that honors the sacrifice that was made for me. Because I don't feel I'm worth it, that these five people gave their life for me." And he was broken, and he was humble, and he was looking for affirmation from his wife saying, "Tell me I lived a good life." And I broke down in that movie because that's the gospel. Jesus died for me. He didn't have to. He's the Son of God. I was a sinner. He gave his life for me. And when he was saying, "Tell me I lived a good life," something in my spirit echoed with that. And I was thinking, am I living a life that is worth the cost of the Son of God? This happens all the time to me, where I'm watching a movie and the Holy Spirit will pull out a spiritual truth. And even though I know it in my mind, something happens when I see the story and it's deposited in my heart. One of the things I want to do in the next 4 weeks is I want to have our kids watch some of these movies. We're going to watch The Lion King, Moana. What are the other ones on here? Finding Nemo. Beauty and the Beast. You're thinking, what are the spiritual truths behind that? But I want to teach our kids how to hear the Holy Spirit through modern day stories. I'll give you a hint. Finding Nemo. How many of you heard this Holy Spirit watching Finding Nemo? I'll give you a clue. Don't touch the butt! Don't touch the butt! You guys remember that? No? Don't touch the butt! How many times have you heard God say, don't touch the butt? And you go and you touch the butt. And after you touch the butt, you're lost. And the whole story of the gospel is the story of a father searching for his son, his lost creation, going through all of this danger, finally to redeem a lost son that touched the butt when he told him not to touch the butt. All of these stories have the gospel woven into it if you are listening and looking for it, if you're hungry. And the same way that the disciples went to Jesus and said, what does this mean? And they would decode, he would decode principles of the kingdom through stories. We, with the Holy Spirit, we can do the same thing with movies. We can say, God, what do you want to say to me in this movie? And if you are good soil, God will reveal to you secrets of the kingdom through movies. Is that cool? So we're going to do that for the next 4 weeks. And one of the main things that I want to do is to teach our kids